Our lesson this evening is on a blood-bought people. And for those visitors who may be here this evening, I'm not the regular preacher. The men of the congregation were asked to preach on a third Sunday of each month. And we've had many lessons throughout the year. And tonight, again, we'll be speaking on a blood-bought people. Blood is a fluid that's found in humans and it's found in animals, and it acts as a delivery system for our bodies. Blood consists of plasma, which is red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. They are suspended. Blood performs many important functions within the body, including the supply of oxygen to all the tissues in our body. Blood supplies provides the supply of nutrients to every cell in the body. Another function of blood is that it removes waste, such as carbon dioxide, from our bodies. And it provides immune functions, including circulation of the white blood cells and detection of foreign material by antibodies, keeping our bodies healthy. Blood provides coagulation, the conversion of blood from a liquid to a semi-solid gel to stop bleeding. And it provides messenger functions, including the transport of hormones and the signaling of tissue damage. Blood's important in that it regulates the body pH, the measure of acidity or alkalinity. It regulates the core body temperature, keeps us the same temperature throughout in our core. And it provides hydraulic functions. The more you study blood and its value in our bodies, the more you can be amazed at the capabilities of it and of the one who made it and made man. The physical functions of blood are many, and each individual function I just mentioned is significant. Without blood or enough blood in our body, we can have no hope of life. And so we see that in our physical bodies, there is life in blood. And this is true in how God created and designed blood. God designed life in blood. God tells us in Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And any man from the house of Israel, or from the aliens who sojourn among them, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood, by reason of the life, that makes atonement." God tells us that there is life in the blood. We also see in this scripture that blood was given for the purpose of atonement. And by following God's instruction, the Israelites could make atonement for their sins by bringing live animals to the altar for sacrifice. Blood was symbolic of life to the one who used that blood in the manner in which God prescribed, the life of the animal for the atonement of the sins for the one who brought the animal for sacrifice. And we too are in need of an atonement. We are deserving of the wrath of God because of our sin and need to be saved by blood because we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all acted selfishly in our lives. We have deceived. We've acted against the will of God. For that, our lives were empty and they were without hope. There was a void. We had a certain fate of damnation at the end of our time here on earth. Our spiritual lives were dead. They were lifeless. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we see that the wages of sin is death. We too were in need of atonement. But we know that there is even more powerful blood than the blood of bulls and goats, and that is the blood of our Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, loves us so much that he left the right hand of God, the glory of heaven, to come here to earth to live among sinful men. And he lived on earth. While he lived here, he was perfect and was without sin. And he loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. He gave himself to be sacrificed for us. Having the power at any moment, Jesus could have ended the pain. He could have ended the anguish that he was to bear. And yet he was willing to hang on the cross and shed his blood for us. It is that blood that was shed that makes real atonement for our sins. Jesus' blood has the power, so much more than the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus' blood has the power to give us eternal life. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. And what a joy it is to be saved by the wrath of God. Paul continues the thought as he told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our past sins, it would be impossible for us to be pleasing to God and to be in heaven with him. But Jesus' blood has the power to give eternal life. It has the power to forgive our trespasses and to make us right with God. What wonderful grace that he has given us. And we have a new covenant with God. It's a covenant that we as Christians renew each week as we take of the Lord's Supper. But without the blood that was shed for us, our covenant remains lifeless and cannot impart the forgiveness of sins. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood for us, and it should be something that we must always focus on in our lives. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, "We know this, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us." His blood fulfills the old covenant, and it gives life to the new covenant. Without his life and his blood offered on our behalf, we remain dead in our sins and unable to do anything about that awful predicament. Hebrews chapter 22 reads, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." We can see now the awesome power of Jesus' blood. We were bought at a very significant price. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 say, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Jesus' blood will always maintain its power. It's better than the fluctuating value of silver and gold, which will not last an eternity. The value of Jesus' blood will not diminish, and it will not fade. And Jesus is God's only Son. And so we can see how serious God is about the price that he was willing to pay for us, and that Christ was willing to give his life for us. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, reads, "Our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." We were bought at a significant price by Jesus. He gave himself to redeem us. Our souls were bound for eternal damnation, and Jesus bought us. He transferred ownership in that purchase, ownership away from the devil. And so because of that, we are not our own, but we belong to Christ. We have been purchased by Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God paid a significant price for us. He purchased us through his blood, and we are not our own. We should at all times be thankful for what Christ gave to us. Our lives, because of that, should be changed forever. And we should always appear different than those of the world. We're in a godless world, and people of this world should notice that we are a different people. We must always be an example to others of how he wants us to act. Some will hate us for it, and others will ask to find out why we are not like them, giving us an opportunity to teach them about God. And so because we are a blood-bought people, because we were purchased by God with his blood and are a different people, that should be reflected in us. It should be reflected in our attitude and the feelings within us that we express. Our attitude should reflect at all times the deep gratitude that we have for our Lord and the assurance that we are saved through Christ. The attitude of a blood-bought people is to have a strong desire to praise God. We should praise God for the new life that he has given us. We should thank him for the joy that's in our hearts. We were once lost, but now we are saved. We want to be nearer to God, which can be reflected in our desire to pray to God and speak with our Savior. And it should be reflected in us wanting to learn more about God. Our priorities should at this time change. No longer should our focus be on the next TV series or the next activity that we're going to be doing, but it should be and doing that to the detriment of studying God. Instead, we find that our desires have changed because we desire the responsibility to learn more about the one who bought us and to know how to worship him rightly. The attitude of a blood-bought people is having a hope within us. We find, as a blood-bought people, that we are more positive. We have a more positive attitude because we're not weighed down by the worry of what will come of our soul when we die. And we know that the power of God's blood can heal us when we fall short of his glory and repent of our sins. We have a loving and friendly attitude and show the love to others that God shows to us. And that the difference in our attitude can be seen equally. It should be seen equally by Christians and non-Christians, because our attitude should be carried the same with everyone. We should constantly examine ourselves and make sure that we have a blood-bought attitude and are not slipping into the attitude of the world. So we should ask ourselves, what is our attitude? Are we content? Or are we complainers? Are we joyful and at ease? Or are we in constant panic and crisis? Are we thankful? Are we showing that we're a blood-bought people through our attitudes? And being a blood-bought people should also be reflected in our actions, what others observe about us. A blood-bought people is to be obedient to God. Our actions should reflect a 180-degree change of direction from where we were before we were bought by Christ. We no longer follow the ways of our past sinful selves. We find that after becoming a Christian, we have different friends. Our peers, the people we measure ourselves against, have changed because our priority is to be pleasing to God. We attend services and the gathering of the saints as much as we are able. And a blood-bought people work for their employer as if they are working for the Lord. That means we work hard, even when our boss isn't looking. And we represent God in all that we do. And so that means that we don't ever cheat in order to get away with doing less than we are committed to. And it also means that being a good employee, regardless of your personal feelings for your boss, be it good or bad. A blood-bought people also cares for others. making time for other Christians, helping those who are suffering, rejoicing with those who rejoice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 26, it says, "So that there may be no divisions in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And so how do we act? Are we servants or are we selfish? Do we send cards? Do we speak to others and show genuine care for their good times and bad? A blood-bought people should also be reflected in our words and in what we don't say. A blood-bought people controls their tongue. We have the same vocabulary at services, whether we're at home or at school or at work. We are not quick to anger and do not speak things that we will regret soon after. A blood-bought people speaks praise to God. We recognize God's hand in our successes. We praise God in our times of need. And we recognize that God is over all and that his will be done. In all things, we recognize his power and his control over our lives, and we give praise to him. A blood-bought people shares God's word with others. We look for ways to bring up God when with family and friends. We reference him when possible and don't shy away from inviting others to worship or Bible classes. We should be like a child receiving a precious gift. I remember that when I was young, that all I wanted for months was a radio-controlled car. And this wasn't any normal radio-controlled car. It had two speeds, fast and slow. It had shock absorbers, and it could go off-road or race on the street. And the second that those batteries were charged, I remember I wanted to spend every waking minute with it. I wanted to share it with my friends because this was the coolest car out there. It was special to me, and for that reason, I wanted to share it with others and show them the specialness of the car. And we should be like the person who just met the person they want to marry. After meeting Jamie, I remember talking with her for hours. I remember being in conversation with friends and family. And if we weren't talking directly about Jamie, I remember trying to figure out how I could get the conversation to switch to her. Try and figure out, you know, from others what she was doing that night or what I could do on a next date with her. We too should have a similar desire to talk to others about our Lord and to share his word with others. And as we examine ourselves to confirm that we are still acting as a blood-bought people in all areas of our lives, how do we talk? Are our words the same when we are worshiping God or when we are with our friends, our neighbors, and our family? Do we strive to bring up God in conversations with others and teach God's word? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a blood-bought people. Do we proclaim the excellencies of Christ, whose blood has the power to save us? Being a blood-bought people should be reflected in our bodies. A blood-bought people dresses modestly and respectfully. We are set apart. We do not blend in with a dressing like those who are in the world when it can lead to impure temptation. Our dress should not lead others to temptation. A blood-bought people takes care of their body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We do not fill our bodies with drugs that alter our minds and distract us from this life. We live purely with a desire to be pleasing to God, keeping our bodies healthy so that we are able to use them to gather with the saints and to help others. A blood-bought people spends time with the right crowd. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 7:1, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteous and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As we examine ourselves to confirm that we are still acting as a blood-bought people, we should ask ourselves, who do I spend my time with? Am I taking care of the body that God gave me? And am I dressing so as not to lead others to temptation? We have been bought by Jesus. Jesus' blood is so valuable that it pays for every sin, for every person, for all time. We were dead in our sins until we were purchased through his blood. That demands our continual acknowledgement and recognition of what was paid for us. We are God's, and we need to act like it in every area of our lives. He is pure and holy, and we need to give our all to be pure and holy for him. Jesus gave his life for us. That will change our lives forever if we let it. As a blood-bought people, we should give our all to him, recognizing the significance of his sacrifice and the blood that he shed to buy us from eternal damnation. He loves us that much. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Nothing can separate us from God and the saving blood of Christ if we submit our lives and our will to him. If you are not a Christian and are not benefiting from the blood of Christ, give up your life to him before you give up Jesus' blood. And if you are a Christian and would like the prayers of the saints to help you live a blood-bought life that you should, come forward as we stand and sing.